We are on the Give of Thanks on this series on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, all the gifts of the Spirit, in some sense, are manifested in the Old Testament, except the gift of tongues. And that's only specially designed for the New Testament. And as we have said again, every gift of the Holy Spirit is related to a growth in the Spirit, and we need to continue to define that. For example, there is a difference between personal growing in faith and the gift of faith. And there is a difference between believing God for a miracle through the Word of God and having the gift of miracles. And every Christian can pray for God and exercise healing as a covenant right in their life, but there's a difference between that and the gifts of healing. There's a difference between growing in Christian discernment and as opposed to discerning of spirits. One is a gift of the Holy Spirit, the other is a personal growth that comes through our life. And the more we grow in our Christian life, the more we grow in those areas of discernment, faith, knowledge, and spirituality, etc. However, the gift of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, or as the Bible in 1 Corinthians 12 calls it, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, come without necessarily us growing into it. It just starts operating in our life. Of course, by understanding how those gifts operate, it helps us to release the gifts and let it flow in our lives. Now, those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. In a way, we can differentiate by defining one as the human spirit, which is a small h and a small s, and the other as the Holy Spirit with a capital H and a capital S. And there is a faith which your human spirit has, and then there is a gift of faith which comes by the Holy Spirit, capital H, capital S. And so in that differentiation, we go into the gift of tongues, or as the Bible says, varieties of tongues, which is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in that particular section, he calls it in verse 10, to another, different kinds of tongues. So in that way, we know that the gift of tongues is an ability which God gives by the Holy Spirit, which differentiates it from praying in tongues. In a diagram, we can see and visualize that there is a difference between the gift of tongues. I call it the gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues and what I call the prayer language of tongues, which is given or is manifested or is experienced when a person many times receives the baptism in the Holy Spirit and God gives them the ability to pray in tongues. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15, it says very clearly that praying in tongues is something that takes place through the human spirit. In verse 14 and 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding." And notice in that particular verse, the translators put a small S there. Although in the original Greek, it was all written in capitals. And if you go and buy a New Testament in Greek from the Christian bookshop, they have big caps and small caps. But the original was all written in capital. And it's up to the translators to determine whether the word spirit referred to the human spirit or to the Holy Spirit. Most translators, in fact, all of them, are in agreement that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15, that it refers to the human spirit, which is a small s. Translators don't always agree. There are certain spots in the Bible where they differ in their translation. But in that particular case, you have 100% agreement. That definitely that refers to the human spirit, which has the ability to pray or to sing in tongues unto God. And so I would classify 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15, under the category of the human spirit. Small h, small s. As compared to the gift of the varieties of different kinds of tongues, which are capital S and capital H, Holy Spirit. And there is also a difference. When we pray in tongues or sing in tongues, we are, let's pretend that's our human spirit, we're singing upwards towards God. And it's unto God. When a person exercises the gift of different kinds of tongues, God, of course, will work through the Holy Spirit, through the human spirit, and of course through their temple or the physical body, and they will speak in a language, and it is God speaking through their life to the church. And immediately you can see that the direction is different. Praying in tongues, and the language is tongues, is unto God. And God, of course, doesn't just speak English. God knows every language in the world. And so, God doesn't need an interpreter. God understands all the languages. And there's no need for interpretation when you speak unto God. And if there's a request to pray for interpretation, as in 1 Corinthians 14, it's for the benefit of the speaker themselves. To edify themselves, to understand, at least in a sense, what they are praying. It depends whether it's of benefit to them, because in this area it's more edification. Yes. Whereas the gift of varieties of tongues or different kinds of tongues is a message from God, anointed by the Holy Spirit to God's people. And of course, in the church, we don't understand all kinds of tongues, and we need interpretation. And that's where there's a differentiation here. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we need to look very carefully whether is this category of tongues from the human spirit or this category which is a message from God that operates through the gift of the Holy Spirit. To the person who is used by God, experientially, you may not feel different. Possibly you may feel a greater weight of the Holy Spirit, a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit, a greater authority when you exercise the gift of the Spirit, as opposed to this personal one. But otherwise, experientially, it doesn't seem to differ in a person's experience. And that is where the Corinthians make the mistake. Where they equate that these tongues that are all received when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit is the same as this. And that is the story of 1 Corinthians where there was confusion that arose. And every Bible scholar and Bible teacher looks at Corinthians and talk about the confusion of the gifts of the Spirit and especially of tongues. But nobody today is identifying the fact that there's still confusion in the body of Christ. There's confusion between what is of the human spirit and what is of the Holy Spirit. And there are many scholars out there today calling discernment a gift of the Spirit when it's a growth of the human spirit, whereas discerning of spirits is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So we may have moved out of the confusion of tongues, but there's still a lot of confusion as far as the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits and discernment, and all this is still confused. And the main confusion is people don't realize that as much as there are 9 gifts of the Spirit listed, there are also 9 equivalent growth of the human spirit. And when we divide it clearly, we say, okay, now we know this section is the human spirit, there is the Holy Spirit. Then only we begin to find order in the church. As to when each one's function, and which one we can grow in, which one comes as the Holy Spirit wills. And since we focus on tongues in particular, we want to identify first, as we say, when we understand what a prayer language is, we can understand how the gift operates. Let's look first at the prayer language of tongues that God has given, that we find occurring in the book of Acts chapter 2 and various places. Sometimes, as you can see, God allows people to understand it. And they are like eavesdropping or hearing people worship God. And sometimes to the speaker in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14 and 15, that when you sing in the spirit, you sing with the understanding. For your self-edification, sometimes you interpret it. And that flows with the gift of interpretation, which we'll look at the next week. And which is a unique thing altogether. Now, we're going to talk about just the prayer language of tongues. And I keep calling it the prayer language of tongues to differentiate from the gift of varieties of tongues. The prayer language of tongues, and in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15, very clearly states that it's the human spirit speaking forth. And if we identify it very carefully, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15, it is in the realm of the will. W-I-L-L. That's in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15. Paul said, I will. He didn't say that, you know, I feel. And he didn't say like I was make to do, to speak it, or forced to speak it, or it erupted in my life. He says, I will speak in an unknown tongue, and I will speak with understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and I will sing with my understanding. I will. W-I-L-L.
And the Holy Spirit doesn't give the understanding.
Not necessarily, but we can pray for it. And that will come under the next week when we talk about praying for interpretation. Because there is an interpretation that is of the growth of the human spirit, as opposed to the gift of interpretation, which is a different realm. See, once you see that there are 9 growth of the human spirit relating to the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, the scripture just opens up. Very clearly. There's no more confusion. And the will is important when it comes to our personal language in tongues. I know that sometimes many people receive the baptism in the Spirit with great emotional outbursts and experience. But that emotional outburst experience, all the feelings that they have at that time, whether electrical shock or warm glow over their lives or running water flowing through them, or they were slain or they were shaking or whatever experience, those are what I call side effects. Side effects. And side effects come and go according to how accustomed we handle the level of God's power. And just like, you know, it depends on, like, let's say if it gets colder and colder, all of us react differently to the cold. And then if all of us are subject to an electrical shock, we may react differently. And so each one of us have a different reaction, because chemically, physically, we are also made differently. Even though the basic elements are there that compose a human body, no two human beings are alike. No two DNA is alike. And the proportion of calcium, magnesium, and all the different things are different for each person too. And so it makes everyone different and cause our reactions to be different. And that's important to determine that those are just side effects. Now, the strange thing happened when you get used to the level of the human Holy Spirit's presence. I call that the parable of the bathtub. When you're cold at this time, and when you turn on the hot water and you want to have a bath, and you fill the bathtub, and then the first time you step into it, it can be very, very, very hot. Or the first time you step into a running shower, it feels very, very hot. But if you remain there for a while, your body gets used to the heat level, and the bathtub or the shower don't feel as hot anymore. Because the differentiation the differentiation of the heat difference is no more there. Your body is grown accustomed to it. Now, on your chair right now, there's a cushion that is made from some sort of elastic material, and there's a metal part on your chair. If you put your hand on the metal part of the chair, you will feel cold. Your body tells you that metal part is cold. If you put it on the elastic part, it doesn't feel as cold. Your body tells you that the metal part is colder than the cushion part of the chair. Your body lied. If you take a thermometer and measure it, both the metal and the cushion are at the same temperature. You say, why? I feel the difference. Yes, long, long ago, they woke up, looked up to the valley, and they saw the sun rise in the east and set in the west. And they say the sun rotates around the earth. Were they right? They were wrong. They were basing their conclusion based on their experience. And they forgot that if it's the earth that is rotating, then it looks like the sun is moving. And so it took many thousands of years, my friend, and some heads chopped off before people were bold enough to say, yes, the earth rotates around the sun. It takes a long time for us to come to such a simple truth. Why? Because the argument of human feelings and emotions block the truth. That's why the Bible says truth comes by revelation. Some revelation is something beyond you. It's revelation is given by God. To define the word revelation outside the English dictionary definition, the Bible definition of revelation is that it is something you can never attain by your own strength, emotion, or human wisdom. It can only be given when God causes you to see it. That's a revelation. That's why revelation comes from God. Now, why is that so? Why do I feel the metal as colder and the cushion part as warmer? It's because when your hands contact the metal, metal has a better conductivity. It sucks the heat from your hand faster than the cushion. And because your body cells feel the heat being sucked out faster, your body tells you it's colder. But that's not what the thermometer will measure for you. If you measure it, the thermometer will show you that it's the same temperature. This simple experiment, if you go to visit any science center, they will have one section for little kids to play with, a different types of material, and you find that it's in one section too for the kids to play with. That tells them that the temperature of all the different materials is the same. So you can't trust your body's thermometer. You can only trust a neutral thermometer that actually measures the temperature. And so, in the same way, when we have different experiences of the Spirit of God and different perceptions, sometimes we think that the prayer language depends on the emotions or the different experiences that we are having at that time for it to keep occurring. Emotions and experiences come and go. You learn from them. But it's your will. When two people walk down the altar and they make a covenant of marriage, the priest does not ask, do you, Mr. T, you know, take Miss Y as your wife? And Mr. T says, I feel like it. Doesn't answer that way. No. They say, I do, I will, but it's in the realm of the volition, the will. Because you cannot build a marriage just based on feelings. It's based on a decision that you made to walk with your mate. And there will be different experiences you go through. Mountaintops, valleys, easy times, difficult times. And whatever, and your will, you choose to be there together. So in the same way, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15, that simple little verse that says, I will pray with my spirit, I will pray with my understanding. It means that tongues is in the realm of the will. Once you receive it. If it's in the realm of the will, then there's many wonderful things that you can do to it. That you can do once you have received the gift of tongues. One of the few things I've discovered, if you look carefully in Acts chapter 2 verse 4 and other places where it says they speak in tongues, it says, and the Spirit of God and the Spirit filled them and they spoke with tongues. They spoke with tongues. It was not the Holy Spirit grab hold of their tongue and make them speak. And so sometimes people, because they don't understand the theological perspective of truth, they have a misunderstanding of the truth. They try to get people baptized into the Spirit through different ways. I've seen some horrible ways too, right? Some people, when they pray for people baptized, they shake them, you know. Of course, when they're shaking and talking, you know, they can't speak very clearly because they're shaking, right? And say, yeah, you got it. What do you got, you know? And then I've seen another minister long ago who ministers in a funny way. And what he did was he called this. Now, all these methods are unscriptural, right? And he got these people and said, all right, say after me, la 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 la. He got them singing la 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 for a long time. And after that, no, he shakes them a little bit and the la 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 becomes something else. And say, you got it. And all these are methods that people develop because they think that tongues is based on the experience and the emotions. And I would rather teach people what it actually is and let God work in their life at the proper place and time. Encourage them to just worship God. They reach a point when they just need more words and all human language cannot express. Something deep within expresses forth. And then let each one find their place in their time. And sometimes in a strong anointing, it's easier to just flow in. That helps, but it's important to know how to continue. So if tongues is in the realm of the will and it's we doing the speaking, the Holy Spirit only provides the language, then there are a few things that are quite interesting. Number one, how loud or how soft depends on you. So a lot of people who speak in tongues say, I cannot control. Wait a minute, is it in your will? The Bible says it's in the will. So they say they cannot control. What they mean is that they keep in their theological understanding, they keep thinking it's in the realm of emotional experience. But if it's the realm of the will, then you must be able to control it. And that number one, if it's in the will, number one, you could control the loudness or the softness. Now, I know that sometimes when people are new to this Holy Spirit experience, don't push them, let them grow out of it. You know, just like little kids, right? When they run around, they misbehave, they don't know the limits. And they are learning the limits of social interaction. And so, if a little kid right now is running around, you know, and he may be singing, but if there's something going on, we say, you can sing, but sing softly, or you won't go to the side. So, they're learning the social limits, right? As they interact with a group of people. And the same way, a person new to a baptism spirit needs to learn how to put it in the realm of their will. Paul says, I will. So, the loudness or softness is within a person's control. So some people say, I can't control and I must always have love. Why? Because it's the Holy Ghost anointing. It's not the Holy Ghost anointing. Because you enjoy the emotions of it. Because it takes more emotional energy to make something loud. So you can pray in tongues loudly. It sounds nice. It sounds wonderful. It sounds jarring, you know. It awakens people if they're falling asleep, you know. In a prayer meeting, keeps you awake, you know, with the sound around you. But It is in a person's control. And there are times when you can pray very softly. You can pray very softly. It's within your control. Now I understand that sometimes the Spirit does quicken a person to shout out unto the Lord. Right? All these are within. As long as we know that those are within the realms of the Spirit. Right? There's a time to sing. There's a time to shout. There's a time to cry. There's a time to laugh. So there's a time and place for everything. And So you can control the softness or the loudness. Number two, you can control the pitch. So sometimes people's tongues, you know, and you hear, especially the Pentecostals, sometimes they are not taught properly. And some of them, they are praying in tongues with the most creaky voice you ever heard. Right. So, they're not taught. Under their normal circumstances, they actually speak nicely. But why when they pray in tongues, suddenly it changes the whole demeanor of a person? Right? They're not taught. Because they're just basing on experience and emotions. Right? With great excitement, they receive it. But, you know, it doesn't last. And these are important things to look into. Because when you're talking about praying in tongues for long, long hours, 24 hours or 40 hours, or you've gone to an all-night prayer meeting where you pray most of the time 99% in tongues, you try praying in tongues in a high-pitched voice, loudly, for 20 hours. You start by 2 a.m. You go. By the morning, we have to pray for your truth. So these are all the dimensions that we need to understand that it rests in the realm of the will. And we consider that more and develop it into the gift of tongues in the next part. Right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we